Welcome to Healing Scars with Pastor Burton. Here, you'll find practical, relevant, biblical information. The Bible will be broken down verse by verse so that you get the full context of the scripture to better grow in your relationship with Jesus. Hey everybody, welcome back to the sanctuary. It's great to have you with us. Now, before we get started, a little housekeeping for just a moment. So bear with me. I'd like to remind you that if you have questions, if there's something that you'd like to hear discussed or something discussed even like maybe in a little bit more detail, or even if you have a prayer request, any of these types of things, our contact information is posted on our website at bethelightsanctuary.org, or you can find us on Facebook. All you have to do is do a search for Be the Light Sanctuary. I'd love to hear from you all, or, even if it's not necessarily so much for, our ministry pages or anything, just the podcast page, do a quick search for Healing Scars with Pastor Burton. You'll find it, regardless of which place you go to, I personally see each and every single one of these messages. So please send them in. I love hearing from you all. I love to interact. If there's something out there that, we need to discuss or, bring some enlightenment to, by all means, I love hearing that too, because, as the body of Christ, as the church, we need to grow, and hearing those areas where we need to grow in, definitely it's helpful, not only to me, but, to you, to make sure you're getting what you need as well. So please, don't hesitate, reach out. Hit up the podcast page, Healing Scars with Pastor Burton, or just go to the website. Or the Facebook page, even for that matter, Be the Light Sanctuary, and the website being bethelightsanctuary.org. So with that said, let's get into it, all right? In the military, and not just there, any occupation, really, I'm talking about the military because that's where I come from, right? That's a big part of my background, as you well know. In the military, we often find ourselves in positions where we had to step in and question what's going on. In fact, it's part of the oath we take not to just blindly or idly stand by while things start popping off around us. So, and when we do, we normally find that the course of action that's being carried out needs to change gears. There's an order to things, an expectation that we do things in a certain way and with regards to certain policies and certain laws, whether we agree with them or not. It's very much a situation of, hey, I didn't write the law, I didn't write the policy, but it's my job to enforce it. Right? Like I said, this is something that we all run into regardless of what our vocation is. I'm just speaking from my own history here. All right? And here's an example. All right? Standing gate duty. For those of you who aren't sure what that is, it's that, if you've seen the movies, you've seen the TV shows, if you've driven by a base anywhere, especially since 9/11, now that we don't have open campuses or open bases anymore, you have the sentries there at the gates, whether it's the MPs or the guards or, whatever, checking people in and out and all, that's gate duty, all right? So that's where we're at. That's the scene. Here's gate duty. It's nighttime. And a young warrior comes walking through. They're drunk and they're underage. Now, for most of us, the most common lines of thought are, he's not hurting anybody. Let him go. If he's old enough to carry a rifle and lay down his life, then he's old enough to drink a beer. And I said, those are the most common, trains of thought in this situation. However, say that you were to let him go about his business and just keep on going. And that inebriation set into that point, or maybe, a little further down the road, it sets in a little bit more. And he's not paying attention. He walks out in front of a car. And he gets hit. And he's hurt, or worse. These things happen. Heck, here in Albuquerque, people, we see it all the time. People don't even have to be inebriated or anything. They could be stone cold sober and still walk out in front of a car and get hit, hurt, or killed. We see it at least a couple times a month, right? Especially off of Central. You look at the, he continues on his way, He doesn't step in front of a car or anything, but he gets into a fight on the way back to his barracks and gets seriously hurt or hurt somebody else, right? You were the one who could have prevented it. That's what you were there for. So even though you may not agree with having to stop him and turn him over to his unit to be dealt with, it is your duty, right? Well, we're about to see something very similar here. You know, like I said, we're all put in positions where we don't necessarily agree with what we have to do, but we have to do the right, do what's right. We have to do what we're called to do. We have to enforce those policies. We have to enforce those laws. It's important. It's there for a reason. All right. So turn with me to the book of Acts, and we're going to be looking at chapters 21. Well, the back part of chapter 21, and we're looking at chapter 22 today as we continue to look at centurions and their soldiers. All right. Now we're going to skim over a good part of this today. However, you know, it's for time's sake, one, but, you know, two, even with that said, I want to encourage you all, go back, read it in its entirety when you have time, because we should all study the word for ourselves and not just be, you know, be blindly led as to what it says. You know, don't just take my word for it or anybody else's word. We all need to know what's going on. We need to know what it says, It's part of our growth, our maturity, you know, and growing with Christ. So, however, like I said, we're going to skim through it, and it's, you know, a big part of it is because we need to know the background. We need to see what's happening so we can fully understand what is happening when we get to where we need to be. So, starting in Acts 21, verses 27 through 36, Paul had just returned to Jerusalem. Right? People who recognized him, they're pretty upset. They're pretty heated. So much so that they stirred the crowd up into, they basically built up a lynch mob. All right? So it was pretty nasty. It was hot. It was heavy. You know, they're just wanting to tear him apart. Matter of fact, that's what they were doing. They were taking him. They were going to kill him. And word of what was happening got to the Roman soldiers that were in the area. Now, being under Roman control in this area, in this region, these soldiers, upon hearing what was going on, they had to investigate. They had to find out what was going on. And they tried. They went out. They started talking to people. They got conflicting accounts. One person said one thing. Another person said another. So in order to basically quell the crowd, get things to simmer down, and to get to the bottom of what was happening, they took Paul into custody. All right? They apprehended him themselves. They put him in cuffs, and that's where we're at. Going into Acts 21, verses 37, and carrying through the bulk of chapter 22 all the way up to verse 21. So Acts 21, 37 to 22, verse 21. At this point, Paul's in chains. Basically, like I said, the handcuffs of the day. You know, Paul, at this point, you know, because the crowd's starting to simmer down, you know, he's in handcuffs. He knows, okay, I'm basically protected at this point. He has something to say. So he turns to the commander of the guard, and he addresses him in Greek. In Greek, so, you know, saying, you know, hey, can I talk to these people for just a moment? By doing this, He picked the guard's interest because he was speaking in Greek, right? And not only that, you know, in showing that he was bilingual like this, by speaking Greek, it showed that he was an educated man and a cultured man, right? We're not just talking about some riffraff or some, you know, punk that was stirring up trouble and getting people fired up, you know? So now, at this point, The guard's like, yeah, sure, let's do that. Yeah, let's hear what you have to say. So he's allowed to speak to the people. So, you know, Paul, he's switching gears a little bit here. Not that he was being abrasive before or anything like that, but he's in a position now where he can actually talk. And in giving his defense, he's now speaking in Aramaic. Aramaic was the common language of the area. And in doing this, he was showing that not only was he a Jew, but he was a man who respected the culture and the laws of the people, right? After all, these were his people. So by speaking Greek to the Romans and Aramaic to the people, he now has a captive audience. People are listening. It's like, okay, whoa, hold on a second. There might be something to be had here. Let's hear what he has to say. So at this point, Paul, he turns and he gives an account of who he is, right? He's basically going through some of his credentials, his background persecuting Christians, just like these people are now. He knew what their passion was for doing so. So he's connecting with them. He understood why they did it, why they were doing what they were doing, everything that they were thinking, every action that they were taking, and every action that they wanted to take. And that these were things that he had an intimate personal knowledge of because he had previously been one of them. Matter of fact, he had been one of the fiercest men of them, one of the fiercest men on that crusade. Personally responsible for the imprisonment and killing of several Christians himself. So at this point, like I said, he's connecting with them, and he's connecting with them at a raw core level, right? He's hitting home, speaking right to their hearts. And he continues on to share his testimony about Jesus and how he had found his faith in Jesus. You see, he didn't just give an account of who Jesus was, you know. Instead, he told them not only about who Jesus was, but what he had done in his life. See, he made it personal. Everything he was talking about here was personal. And this is the key component that so many of us forget about, the vast majority of us for that matter, forget about when we talk about Jesus, when we talk about the Bible. Yes, giving biblical accounts is good. We need to do that. We need to have biblical references to direct people to show that we know what we're talking about. However, especially when talking to an unbeliever, we need to share our personal testimony about how Jesus has stepped in and helped us in our lives, how we have a relationship with him. We have to make it personal. Think of it this way. It's like talking about a new car. You can rattle off all the specs, like you pull them out of the owner's manual. Oh, we got 445 horsepower V8 small block with 445 pound-feet of torque, a manual transmission, and so on and so forth. And half of you are bored to tears just hearing that little bit, right? Now let's flip it. Oh yeah, I got a new SUV. It's great. It's got that third row in the back, so I'm able to get the kids and some of their teammates to practice on time. And it helps the other parents, but it helps me out because I'm able to actually start on time. Plus we're able to fit everybody into the same car now. We don't have to take two cars everywhere. So that trip we've been wanting to do, going out to Florida, we're going to be able to do it. It's going to be so much nicer. Oh, and the gas mileage compared to my old Buick. Oh my, it is so much nicer. I mean, I could go around like 500 miles on a single tank now compared to that 100 on that old beast, right? Plus, we got that. We splurged a little bit, and we got the entertainment package. So the kids, they're a little bit more distracted on those longer trips now. And, they can watch their movies, and they have the headphones, so it's not disturbing us up front or anything. And we can listen to our own music or talk or whatever. You have people's attention now. You have them drawn in. They're hearing the benefits and the impact that this has had in your life. It's personal. And talking about Jesus is no different. This is what the Bible is talking about in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5, when the word says, always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Let me say again, always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. We need to be able to we have to make things personal. Right? Anybody can rattle off a bunch of stuff, you have to make it personal in order to make that connection, though, to show the relevance of what's going on. Right? So Paul, he continued on. He shared his testimony all the way up to the point of God saying that he was going to send him to the Gentiles. Now, this is where we're going to pick up today's reading. If you haven't already done so, turn with me to Acts chapter 22, and we're looking at verses 21 through 29. So Acts 22, verses 21 through 29. And the word says, "Then the Lord said to me, 'Go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles.' The crowd listened to Paul until he said this. Then they raised their voices and shouted, 'Rid the earth of him! He's not fit to live!' As they were shouting and throwing off their cloaks and flinging dust in the air, the commander ordered that Paul be taken into the barracks. He directed that he be flogged and interrogated in order to find out why the people were shouting at him like this. As they stretched him out to flog him, Paul said to the centurion standing there, 'Is it legal for you to flog a Roman citizen who hasn't even been found guilty?' When the centurion heard this, he went to the commander and reported it. 'What are you going to do?' he asked. 'The man is a Roman citizen.' The commander went to Paul and asked, 'Tell me, are you a Roman citizen?' 'Yes, I am,' he answered. Then the commander said, 'I had to pay a lot of money for my citizenship.' 'But I was a born citizen,' Paul replied. Those who were about to interrogate him withdrew immediately. The commander himself was alarmed when he realized that he'd put Paul, a Roman citizen, in chains. Paul had the attention of the Jews all the way up until the point that he mentioned the Gentiles. And then they turned on him again. He lost them again. That, see, the divide between these two cultures at that point in time was so intense. There was a lot of anger, a lot of hostility, a lot of pride involved. Matter of fact, there still is. It accounts for so much of what's going on in the Middle East at this point, right? And continues to do, you know, has been for quite some time. It's just, there's so much. There's a huge divide out there. A lot of racism, right? Amongst other issues. Paul, you know, like I said, is all the way up to this point. And once he lost them again and they turned on him, the Roman soldiers, they had to stay involved at this point. They knew that they had to. There was no choice. It was a police action. You know, they had to regain peace, right? They had to quell the action. They had to simmer things down. So not only that, but they're heated. You know, it's like they had this guy here. He's causing a lot of trouble. People are pretty upset. So they take Paul away, and they want answers. The Roman soldiers, or for that matter, the centurion, they were no-nonsense troops. They were known for their brutality. There wasn't an interrogation room, you know, as we know them now, waiting for Paul. Instead, they went straight to bad cop, worse cop. They were preparing to flog him to get the answers that they needed, right? So, hey, you're going to tell us one way or the other, and it's going to hurt you a lot more than it's going to hurt us. Right? You know, and I could tell you from my own experiences, you know, and not just in the military, not just in law enforcement, you know, but in general, we all have these experiences. You know, it's really hard to keep your cool and to keep your composure when you're dealing with hostile people in a hostile crowd, right? Matter of fact, the more people there are, the harder it is. the soldiers, they were done being nice, right? Up to this point, you know, they'd been civil. They'd stepped in. At this point, you know, it's straight up business. It's go time. You know, it's time to go to work. Blood pressure's up. Most certainly tempers were too. Paul, he was about to get flogged. And for those unfamiliar with the term, simply put, really oversimplifying it, he's about to be whipped. I mean, we're talking literally whipped. All right? Now, what's happening here, though, it's a moment of truth. As the soldiers were preparing him to be flogged, Paul saw the centurion, and so he asked about the legality of flogging a Roman citizen who hadn't even been tried, let alone found guilty. This stopped everyone in their tracks. Every Roman soldier there is like, whoa, hold on a second, hit the brakes. Whoa, Nelly, what's going on here? Paul knew good and well that a Roman citizen couldn't be punished, let alone treated like this, without having first been put on trial and then found guilty. And if these soldiers continued the course of action that they were taking, not only would they have brought massive dishonor upon themselves, but it would have included an extremely harsh punishment to serve as an example. So they were stopped in their tracks, right? We're talking dead stop. Emergency brakes, screech and halt, done. Now moving forward, you see the conversation gets even darker. Here, we have a Roman soldier talking about how he had to pay to be a citizen, right? This is a common practice. You know, for someone who served for so long, they moved up in rank, they'd pay a fee, they'd be awarded certain rights, right? They'd be recognized as a citizen. And you can tell there's a bit of saltiness here. It's like, I had to pay, right? So he's already showing a little bit of disdain here. He's not happy about the situation and where it's headed. Because even though people like him were able to pay a fee to become a citizen and were awarded certain rights, it wasn't all the rights. It wasn't the same as being a born citizen. You know, while buying citizenship moved someone up in the hierarchy of society, they were still considered vastly inferior compared to being a born citizen. Just hearing that Paul was born as a citizen, this put the soldiers on high alert. Talk about the ultimate get-out-of-jail-free card. Paul just used it. The soldiers, let alone the centurion, they didn't have to like it. Matter of fact, at this point, you can pretty well guarantee they didn't. And we're talking about a man in a very short time had created a whole lot of heartache for him, right? He put a whole lot of hate and discontent, before them, you know, with these people, with just a few words. Yet, if word had gotten out that not only did they arrest a Roman citizen, but were going to flog him without trial, well, simply put, they'd be dead man walking. Every single one of them would be dead man walking. So not only did they slam on the brakes, they're changing that gear real quick and getting ready to turn the wheel and change directions. See, the Romans they didn't have to like it. The soldiers didn't have to like it. And let's be frank. We're all often put in situations that we don't like. You know, and the chances of them liking what they needed to do, you know, it's very different than what they wanted to do. The chances that they would like what they needed to do versus what they wanted to do were very slim, to say the least. However, the law was the law. The precedent was the precedent. And the penalty for violating it they knew all too well. Even just the image, the perception of violating, you know, these laws and these policies, whether it had been done or not, was enough to get to have harsh punishment come down on them. So they didn't have to like it, yet it was their job to enforce it. So they backed off of Paul quickly and had to find another way to get to the bottom of what was going on, right? So like I was saying earlier with my example with the gate, you don't necessarily have to like what's going on, but you have to, you know, you have to act a certain way. You have to take certain actions. You have to do certain things. You know, there are times in all of our lives when we are the person of authority, right? Whether you're managing a team, an administrator, so on, we're all put in positions of authority, and we have to slow down, not just rush into things. You know, it's not shoot first, ask questions later. In having these positions, we have to be discerning in how we approach things. Systematic, right? We have to break things down. By being an authority in any area, there are going to be times when we have to do things that we don't agree with, that we don't want to do, for that matter. Yet in Luke chapter 6, verse 36, the word tells us, "Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." An example that we've been given to follow at all times through Jesus himself. Now, it's not always easy. As a matter of fact, it's usually not, right? There are going to be times when no matter how reserved, tactful, and respectful you are, people are going to continue to get in your face and push and push and push to the point that you have to take action. And you're going to have to take the action that you're trying to avoid, that you're trying not to get to. And the more wrapped up people are in the world, the more that people buy into the world and what the world is telling them, and by proxy, what the devil is telling them, the more belligerent and disrespectful and selfish they're going to be. The centurion was more than content to let his men do the work that they had always done. It was status quo. Sort the animals out, clear this up quickly, and let's be done with it. Yet, here's someone throwing a monkey wrench in the works. And what was worse for them is the fact that they knew Paul was right. They needed to slow down and reassess. If they hadn't been so brash, so quick to act without fully pursuing what was happening, without fully investigating what was going on, they would have learned what the bigger picture was a whole lot sooner. Instead, they asked a couple people, they snatched up Paul, they saw the hostile turn on him again, and they, okay, you know what, let's just beat it out of him, right? They're looking for a place to channel their anger, their hate, and their discontent over the stress that they were going through even. And they skipped over everything. Like they could have just talked to him, and they were just going like, nope, we're just going to flog him. You see, we can't just be so eager to get things over and done with that we do the wrong thing. It's a point of character for each and every one of us. You know, part of our integrity. My grandfather on my dad's side, he would always tell us growing up, do the right thing for the right reason, even if you don't like it. Right? Something y'all have heard me say lots and lots of times. That's where it comes from. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, the word puts it like this. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have an opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. doing the right thing is not always popular. It isn't always convenient. It's not always easy. However, doing the right thing is still paramount, especially as a Christian. It's part of what sets you apart from the world. And people will respect you for it. Regardless of whether they agree with you or not, or even in the heat of the moment, once things are simmered down and they actually take a second to recount it, people will respect you for it. Years ago, when I was still a police officer, I apprehended a guy for a DUI. He'd had a history of drinking and driving, resisting arrest, and so on with other officers. He was well known to a few, a matter of fact, who dealt with him repeatedly. I, on the other hand, I had never dealt with him before, right? I'd heard the name and all, but, you know, I didn't know him. He was just another guy. And one night, I'm on patrol. I see a vehicle. It's driving erratically, so I light him up. I pull him over, you know, and it, just walking up, you know, I'd say, I knew he'd had too much to drink. I go through the steps. I have him step out. We're going to do a sobriety test. You know, he fails his way through the first test. He knew it. I knew it. You know, he knew it was what was going to be happening to him again here in just a couple of minutes. So fight or flight kicks in and he bolts. We're running. Let me tell you, this guy's a rabbit. He trips over his own feet. Good thing for me, because he was definitely the faster runner that day. If he had kept going, if he hadn't tripped, he'd have been gone. Because I was out there by myself and I just couldn't keep up with him. So anyway, so he trips. He hits the ground. He goes down like a on this pavement like a slip and slide. I catch up to him. I put him in cuffs. I call for an ambulance to come and take a look at him because when he fell, he hit his head. He'd gotten cut. You know, so while we're waiting, I have him sitting there. I'm applying pressure to the wound and everything, and I'm just talking with him. You know, at this point, right? And when it came time for court later on, he didn't fight it this time. It was different. He admitted guilt. He owned it. He did the right thing. So he got sent to a treatment center. You know, basically, his thing was, the agreement was that he goes through this treatment program, do the monitoring to make sure he stayed sober and everything. And if he completed all this, then he wouldn't go to jail. However, if he failed any of this, then he was going to get the full sentence levied on him, right? Pretty good deal. A lot of people take it. Most of them, you know, fail. But, you know, in either case, months go by. I hadn't thought of him. Everything was over and done with as far as I was concerned, right? It was like the odds of me running into this guy again. Who knew? Well, I get told, hey, you got a visitor. So I go up to find out who it is. It's the same guy. Sober. He's clean and sober. He looks good. And he came to thank me, for being kind even after everything that he had done. And he said it was because of how I treated him and how I spoke to him about the alcoholism in my own family that it finally clicked for him and that he knew he needed to change. He needed to make some deep personal changes in his life. So when he went to the treatment center, he bought into it hook, line, and sinker. And every so often, he would come to show his new sobriety chips, right? And share how he was working to turn his life around. You know, and tell, you know, how he'd been blessed and how things were so much better for him and everything, you know. And even to share, you know, sometimes, you know, when he was struggling and he thought about backsliding, but he didn't. And he trusted in the process and he kept going forward. You know, like this is a guy, he was a great example, you know, and, you know, hopefully, you know, he still is, you know, because unfortunately, I moved, I lost contact with him. Yet, it still goes to show that a simple act of kindness, especially in the worst of circumstances, can have a profound impact. Doing the right thing for the right reason. You know, we don't know all the ways that the Lord will use us to reach others. Yet in keeping with his commands and living in his will, we are able to share his life-changing light with more people and in more ways than we will ever know or even realize on this earth. So much like the centurion, we need to slow down. We need to do the right thing, even if we don't agree with it, even if it's not the popular thing. You know, just like that centurion, we have to resist the accepted norms and stand up for what is right. You model what and who God has called us to be when you do this. Remember, you are loved and you are blessed. Now go and be the church. Thank you all for joining us here today at Healing Scars with Pastor Burton. Please like, subscribe, and share our podcast on any platform it is that you tune into us on. If you do have any questions, any prayer requests, or would like to know more about our ministry, you can find us on our website at BeTheLightSanctuary.org or on Facebook at BeTheLightSanctuary. You can also find how to contact us there, whether it's direct message or email. We look forward to hearing from you all. God bless.